Welcome back to another episode of Straight to the Point. Today, I'm really, really excited to be able to bring on someone that I'm going to really deep dive into brand development, PR, the talent influencer world, and also how he's gone about building a business that completely blows my mind in terms of how it works. The people he works with, the relationships he's been able to build. He is the founder of a company called the Alpha Talent Group. Jake Lee, welcome to the Straight to the Point podcast.
Chris, thank you very much for having me. What a lovely intro.
So I've been practicing these. I'm getting better with them over time. You've got a better one. I've absolutely murdered the last like three that I've done. So we're making progress slowly but surely.
No, you're doing well. That one was good.
Well, thank you for your time, mate. I appreciate you're a busy guy. But I mean, I want to get a little bit of a background on you, if possible, please, mate. So for the people that are listening, who are you? What is the Alpha Talent Group and how have you kind of got to where you've got to today?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, my background's always kind of been in sales. So I started off my kind of working career straight from school, never went into university and went straight into a sales job in recruitment. So I guess if you want to be thrown in at the deep end and, you know, build your sales thick skin, as they say, that's the best industry to do it in because you learn a lot about rejection. You learn a lot about, you know, when it comes off well and the different techniques and how to actually build a relationship properly that's hopefully going to profit you over a, you know, a significant amount of time. So I did that for about a year and a half and then kind of moved into the property world for a little bit. But in the back of my head, I've always wanted to do this. It was just all about coming up with the right time, making sure I had enough contacts around me to make it work. And then I knew I had to give myself probably about a year from when I decided to, you know, jump straight into it before it would come something that I would be able to come away from a full-time job and jump into it. So I gave myself that kind of time to be able to do that. And I think that because I had that always innate sense into me, because I've always liked that industry, I've always watched the reality shows, I've always watched sports. And you can very quickly see that aside from all of that, there is obviously deals that get done with brands and there's sponsorships and things, and they can be quite lucrative. And the industry for me, how I view it, is all about your relationships. So having the sales background and the thick skin I had from that, because obviously there is a lot of rejection in what I do. It's not all bells and whistles and you're getting yeses all the time. You do have to deal with a fair amount of rejection. So having that kind of background and then having the ability to build relationships, and I like to think quite a personable person that, you know, anyone can approach me, I just thought it made sense to give it a go. And I knew that if I didn't, I'd always have that regret. So it kind of started out originally as going to be a music business, believe it or not. And we had a talent, my business partner at the time, knew of an up and coming artist that didn't have a manager, a fantastic voice, a fantastic talent, just didn't have the direction. And he put us together and said, look, you're very good at managing people. She needs management. So let's put that together. And you can kind of, I suppose the word is, you know, get involved in that side of it and see where it goes. So we did that for quite a while, got her to a position where I had a record deal on the table, but unfortunately a few things didn't work out, so we couldn't follow through with that, hence the rejection. And then I kind of came away from it a little bit, let it run in the background, started working on it most evenings and weekends, and it was just slowly ticking over. And it must have been the summer of a couple of years ago when I was watching obviously Love Island, and I saw the people on the show, and then I'm watching everything that goes on Instagram and the deals that come out. And I just thought, you know what, the business is there. I'm interested in the show. I watch it naturally anyway, so I've got a lot of knowledge around that sector. So why not try and monetize it? And that's what I did that year. I must have sent out DMs to everybody on that show or anybody connected to that show. I wasn't expecting to get any replies, to be fair. You know, a lot of the time it goes into people's message requests and you don't know how often they're going to see those message requests. So it was a bit of a hit, you know, try and see where you get to. Managed to get a couple of replies, not from anybody that was necessarily considered to be a main person on the show, because, you know, they always get wrapped up beforehand. But, you know, someone would reply. And once you get kind of one person, you'll then get invited to the events and you start networking on behalf of that person, obviously, to get them some more deals and some more relationships. But naturally, you're also going to meet other talent as well. So it was a good position to move into. And once I got into that, it was kind of all guns blazing from there. I fell in love with it. I love doing what I do. I think the exciting thing for me is that every day is different. So you could be working with a protein brand one day, and then all of a sudden you're looking at a sports brand, or you're looking at a fashion company or a high-end fashion business. So there's no kind of pigeonhole as to what you can do. There really is anything and everything you can do. And like I said, when you strip it down, it's the same as recruitment. Effectively, you are placing your talent with brands. So it's no different to when I used to place accountants in firms to be, you know, not necessarily in accountancy firms, but in other firms as well, you're just matching personalities. So for me, you know, absolutely love the day-to-day side of it, love getting involved in it, mainly because I'm a fan of that kind of thing anyway, but to be actually be involved behind the scenes and see what goes on and then be that person that's doing that. I used to, you know, look at the Daily Mail and look at these things, and you see when it talks about representatives and what goes on behind doors, and you always want to know what that involves. And now I know what that is because I am that person. So yeah, for me, I think it's just the fact that it keeps me on my toes. I wake up every morning and don't feel like I have to go to work. I've had that feeling. Everybody's had that feeling at some point in their life. So when you finally find that one thing that you love, that saying really is true, that if you find something you love, you never work a day in your life. So for me, it's out of bed every single morning and ready to attack the day.
I love that, mate. I think that's, I think the whole story there, there's a few things that I want to dive into, because I speak to a lot of people that are starting businesses and people that have actually been in business for 3, 4, 5 years. And to be able to find out what they need to be doing is a really, really key thing here, right? I hear loads of people online right now, especially people that are in the mentorship and the coaching space. They will talk about like how simple it is to get going. You need to work hard, but everything's simple. It's not difficult, but it's also not easy. And they kind of sugarcoat kind of the fact that to be able to go out there and start a business, you kind of need to know the steps to take. Now, yeah. You came from a recruitment background, right? So the people, like the people skills, the relationships, you had that ability, and that's probably been honed and improved on over time. But to be able to like move from recruitment into the agent and managing talent space, there's so much to that from what I've experienced, like from managing brands to sorting contracts through to dealing with property solicitors to dealing with the talent itself. Where did you learn that? Because that isn't, I don't believe, something that is like, oh yeah, I've got to know everything overnight. That must have taken time. Like, what were your steps when you first started to get going?
Yeah, you know what, you're right. All of that stuff does take time. And I do believe that a lot of it by nature of the industry, is you learn on the job. You know, there isn't a guide. You know, you sometimes go into most jobs, you can get trained up to do certain things. Sales, I mean, you get trained in sales, then as long as you know the product, you can sell it and you're good with people, that's not an issue. But you're right, with my industry and what we do, there's a lot of components, a lot of spinning plates to a deal. It's not just as simple as, right, here's the brand, here's the talent, there's the contract. There are other people that are being involved. You have to get things ratified and checked over. And also you have to make sure that it's, you know, not just commercially viable, but actually fits your talent's profile. And that kind of leads quite nicely into my ethos and, you know, my ethics when it comes to the businesses that I've seen. Too many times you look at ads on Instagram or you look at influencers on Instagram and you'll see straight through it. You'll know that, right, they've been paid to do that. There's no way that they would ever use that product in their normal life. And it just takes that authenticity and, you know, the genuine side of the business out of it. So something that I'm massive on with all of my guys is every time a deal is brought to us or I go and source a deal or it's something that we've spoken about and we get to a position where we're about to sign, we will always have a conversation and work out the pros and cons to the deal. Where is it going to take them as far as their image? Where do they want to be in 5 years? Is this going to help them get there or is it going to pull them further away from it? And then regardless of the money, if the deal's right and, you know, the pros outweigh the cons, then we go for it. If we somehow decide that it's not the right deal for them and it's not the right move and it's actually going to hinder them in the longer run, we will turn it down. So I do think the industry has a bit of a stigma for, you know, influencers being said to just take anything that comes in front of them. But with what I'm trying to do, it's a sense of, no, let's actually work it out. You've got an end goal. You know where you want to get to in 5, 10 years time. Now it's creating that milestone and that pathway to get there. And if this mini deal, whatever it might be, doesn't actually help you get further to that, then it's not worth doing regardless of how much you're going to get paid for it. So I think no one teaches you that kind of stuff. You just learn it. And I think now 2, 2.5 years down the line, getting a bit more savvy about contracts, working them out, obviously getting our own contracts for the business, but also just in general learning how the industry works. And you can only learn that from experience. It's one of the only few jobs in the world, I think, that unless you just throw yourself into it, there's no training. No one's ever going to train you to be an agent. No one's going to train you to deal with all these brands because you really don't know which brands are going to come out of the woodwork. So I think it is very much the case of, if my advice were to be to anyone that wants to get into the industry and start it, the other way is obviously to go to bigger agencies and, you know, start from the bottom there. But if you want to go out alone, just throw yourself into it. Once you get that one talent that's going to give you the experience of doing it, and as long as they understand that you're starting out and they know it's fresh, but the pro to them is that they know you're hungry and you're eager to make it work. So even now, still got that same hunger, still got the same desire, but now just got more knowledge on how to do these things and it becomes a little bit easier when they get thrown our way.
Yeah, it's something that I couldn't agree more with, right, in terms of throwing yourself into things. And actually, I think a lot of people can spend, and it'd be good, to get your thoughts on this, actually, because you deal with a lot of different people in different businesses as well. But they spend loads and loads of time thinking, planning, strategizing, like thinking about this big business picture they want to create. And I've kind of always had a bit of an opposite opinion just in terms of the way that I've done business. And mine is like, look, what is it that I want to deliver for a client? Point number one, I need to know what result it is that I can do. And then for me, it's not about making everything perfect beforehand. It's about going out there and finding a client and quite simply working it out along the way. That's kind of how I went about doing it. I mean, what's your take on that side of things? Is it the same or is it slightly different?
It's the same in the sense there's got to be a plan. So any talent I take on, when we first sit down and agree what we want to do, there will be a conversation to be had and I will say to them, right, what's the long-term plan? You know, I want to work with people who have got a vision, who know where they want to be, and they understand that there's a process. You know, these things don't happen overnight. You're going to have to take the steps in order to get to where you want to be, but everyone has to have that big goal. So whether that's 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, doesn't matter. If you've got that aim, you know whatever you're going to do alongside that is going to pull you one step closer to that main goal. So yeah, a lot of it is planning. If they're going to go on a TV show or they've already been on a TV show, then there has to be a plan around that. I see it too many times that people will go on shows like Love Island without a plan. They'll apply without a plan because they haven't necessarily taken the right advice or they've not gone to people. And then they go on there just because they want, you know, the fame, they want the blue tick, they want a boohoo deal, whatever it might be that they typically see as coming as part of being on that show. But then very quickly they'll crash and burn because there's no real plan there. And what people don't realise is whilst these shows are very, very popular when they first come out, if you don't correctly plan your pathway through the industry, it can very easily quickly fade for you. So it's about jumping from, right, you've come off that show, you've built your platform, now you've got a decent platform and a profile. What do you want to do with that? Is it your own business? Is it a clothing line? Is it, you know, if you're a girl, is it fashion? Is it makeup? Whatever it might be, how are you going to use your profile to elevate a business and leverage it, and then come away from that stigma of like, oh, okay, X was on Love Island, but no, now X is a brand owner. This is what they own. This is what they're doing. Are they going on a different show? Are they going to have their own show? So I think there has to be a thought process whenever I take somebody on. It's not just a blind, okay, great, you want to go on this show, you're going to get that. You want to do all these deals. Like, there's got to be a plan in place. Otherwise, it can become a mess. That's where you hear all the horror stories in our industry, unfortunately, and why sometimes managers like myself, you know, agents, they get a bad name, and it is those people who don't look after, you know, the mental side of it, because it is such a big thing, and mental health is a massive issue in the world in general, but also in our industry. Even more so, it gets heightened because of the exposure that everybody's getting. So I think that as an agent, as a manager, you've got a responsibility to your client to help them navigate through the pathway, keep them focused on what they're doing, and then they've got the security of knowing that everything else is taken care of by you.
Yeah, I'm going off on a tangent here, but I think it's worthwhile talking about, actually, because I was listening to a podcast. It was Chu Geordie's podcast, actually. It was his one. He was talking about, I think it was titled on his YouTube channel, like Tommy Fury versus Jake Paul, would he take it on, like this boxing thing, right? And he was talking about the mental health side of things and how, like, the Paul brothers have had a proper brand development plan, right? They are the pinnacle of what I would call that influencer type space and industry. Like, what they're doing is insane, as much as I think they're one of them, total bellend anyway. But like, in terms of the way that they've done it, it's incredible. And what they were talking about with, like, people that have been on TV shows, and I think this is why I love so much about what you do, is that there's always another series, right? There's always another show that comes on, and they're quickly falling into, like, yesterday's news territory. They have these followers, I know a few of them in the industry now, and I love them to pieces, but the followings that they get, they're like, they can jump from person to person really, really quickly. I mean, how do you manage that as a manager? Does that come down to the brand development plan? Is that kind of making them realize that it's not just one show and there's more stuff that they can get onto? Because I know a lot of them, from what I've seen, do one show and then they're just kind of jumping around taking any deal whatsoever. I think we spoke about it briefly off air. Like, with the brand development plan, is that the sort of stuff that you're working on? Is it like looking at one opportunity and then working out if it actually fits their ethos and their morals and their values of where they want to get to? Or is it about the money? Like, how does it work?
It's definitely about the plan. It's not necessarily about the money. You're right. Obviously, with shows like Love Island that come around once a year, followings are limited because you've got a certain gap of a window where you are, as they call it, flavor of the month. And then if you don't stay relevant after that, it's very easy to fall away. And when I say stay relevant, I don't mean just stay relevant by taking every deal that you can get and you're posting the most on Instagram. People are going to follow you because they've seen you on TV. They like your personality. So that's why they're going to initially follow you. And they were a fan of yours. They've watched you throughout the whole summer. So how are you going to keep them engaged with your content? Well, you're going to provide them with the entertainment that they followed you for in the first place. So if you start posting absolutely everything, car freshener ads, all these types of things that typically are associated to Love Island, people are very quickly going to switch off you and be like, great, another typical influencer. A big topic of recent in the world, as I'm sure you'll know, is, you know, are influencers using their platforms correctly? And because they have such a big pull and people look at their content and will make a judgment based off of just what their content is without necessarily doing the right research. So as an influencer, you have a responsibility to not only provide entertaining content for your followers, but also if you are going to try and inform them and educate them, that you're giving off the right information. So it is a tricky one. It has to be well thought through, which is why I say that people without a plan tend to fall away quite quickly because they don't know what they're doing and it's quite tricky. And people don't realize how hard the industry is. I mean, when I say it's 24/7, it's really 25/8. I mean, it doesn't ever stop and you've got to always be on it. My phone doesn't switch off. I never turn it off. I never want to turn it off. It's always on. And any of my guys know they can contact me whenever they need to. It doesn't matter what time of the day it is, time of the night, irrespective. But I think that's part of the parcel of the job. You have to expect that the industry is fast moving. When news comes out, you've got to be ahead of it or even before the news even breaks. So you do have to be very reactive, but you've also got to be proactive, I think, as a manager, and not just have all the brand deals coming to you, go and source them yourselves, which is a question I'll ask my clients when I first start working with them. Is like, right, what brands do you want to work with? Let's target that group of brands. Might not happen overnight, it might take a while, but we will get there because you'll take many steps to get there. So let's just say one of my influencers would say to me, I really want to work with Nike. Like, as a pinnacle, that's a fantastic company. That's where I want to get to. I want to be working as an influencer, as a content creator with Nike or a Nike athlete. Okay, great. So in order to get there, what we will have to do is create what we call mini steps, mini case studies, to then present that to a Nike, if a representative at Nike. So they might have to go and do campaigns with some smaller sports brands first, you know, go and shoot some really cool content, tag them in a few posts, get their attention a little bit, because they're always looking for that kind of stuff. But then when it gets to a point where there's a meeting with Nike and they want to talk to us, then it's like, right, here's three case studies from other sportswear brands that they've done. You can see the type of content that they create. Would you like to work with them? 9 times out of 10, you'll get a positive response from that, rather than going in there completely bland. Oh, we've never worked with a sports brand before. We've not tagged you in any pieces of content. You've never heard of our name before. They'll laugh you out of the room. So in order to get to that position of working with a Nike, there are steps that have to be taken. The talent has to understand that it's not going to happen overnight. And that, again, is a manager's job and responsibility to give them the correct expectations and you know, to manage the expectations properly. But everything's achievable. There's no brands that are off limits. You know, even these high-end fashion brands now, you'll start to see content creators, influencers work with, because they've realized the value and the power of using them. But again, everything's a process. Everything takes time to get there, but you will get there if you keep working hard.
Yeah, I think when it comes to that expectation management, for me, that's something that we speak about a lot. We actually had a team meeting on Monday. We sat down and we went through kind of the expectations that we're looking to meet and the expectations that we're setting for customers, because actually they're slightly different in the way that we do it. And this is probably a tactic for, I guess, anybody that's listening to do. But what we actually set the expectations for our customers for is actually slightly lower than the standards that we're trying to achieve internally. So we're always actually, even if we fall short of what we're looking at targeting internally, we're still meeting customer expectations. And if we over-deliver that, that is over-delivery. It's not managing expectations. Yeah. I talk about a lot that acceptable line of quality. And for me, that's a massive, massive thing for me when it comes to it, because you're actually acting, I guess, as an agent, that introducer, aren't you, between, and you're representing the influencer and the talent, but you're also trying to find the right brand in the same point. So you've got to manage relationships on both sides, right? So managing expectations becomes even more important.
Absolutely. No, I mean, look, you pretty much are the middleman. You know, there is expectations to manage on both sides. Ultimately, your client is your client. So the talent and the influencer is your client. They're your number one priority, but you want to get a deal done. So there is expectations to manage on both sides. And I think, like you said, it's important to always make sure that you're seen as to be over-delivering. So if you set reasonable expectations and then in your head you know you can do better than that, then you're always winning. Whereas I think where some people go wrong is they might set expectations too high or promise the world to people. And I've had a few influencers and talents say this to me prior, that they've had management promise everything to them when they sign in order to get them over the line. And then 3-6 months later, they've realized that actually none of those promises have come true. The work rate hasn't been there, and it was just in order to get a signature. So again, that falls into the ethos of what I'm doing. I'm very real with everything. We'll have a proper conversation. I want to work with people who are hungry, who want to work. I'm proud to say that every single one of my talents shares that mentality. They're all up for it. They're all, you know, bang at it, work hard every single day, know what they've got to do, and we're all on the right track. And I think that's key to having a good business, not just an agency business, but any good business, is whether you've got employees or clients, they've got to share your ethos. You know, I couldn't necessarily ever work with somebody who was lazy, who didn't care about the content, you know, who just wanted to ride off the back of everything that comes to them, because that's not what I'm about. And I find it very hard to work with somebody like that. But I'm very fortunate that every single one of my clients and the brands as well, they're hardworking. We can always do things to get things done. They're on brands, they're on the ball, they're always looking for new opportunities and hungry to succeed. And that's what we're all about. And then you also build that kind of close-knit community within the agency as well. All of my talents know each other, they're all friendly, you know, they'll all support each other. In a couple of weeks, hopefully we're all going to get together, you know, when restrictions are lifted and we're able to see, you know, everybody outside, we'll get together, do a little thing. And it's nice to have that environment of knowing that you've got a team supporting you. And I think that's key. You know, sometimes you can get lost at big agencies and sometimes you can feel like a number, but I pride myself in making sure that every single one of my clients will feel special, will feel important. They know they've got me and they know they've got each other's backs as well.
I think you can start to see why you've been so successful with this, right? Because you can tell just speaking to you, like, how much you care about your customers, clients, and they become almost more than that, I bet, over time, especially in the industry. They almost become friends, don't they? I've seen you on your Instagram profile. You hang around with these guys quite a lot in terms of how things are going, don't they?
No, absolutely. And I think that's important. You know, what I say to all of them as well is, yes, we're going to have a work relationship and there obviously is a line, but at the end of the day, what I think is more valuable is the friendship that comes with it as well. It's because then that builds trust. Trust doesn't happen overnight. It can take years to build. It can take months, but it can also take 5 seconds to ruin. And that's something that I live by every day, is that building my reputations, I know in my head I'll never do anything wrong to ruin that. But that's where people sometimes go wrong, is they work so hard to build those reputations and then do one tiny thing and don't realize that it can all be gone in a matter of 5 seconds. So, but yeah, the friendship's key. You know, we go on holidays together, we have a good laugh, you know, we know we work hard, but then we know we can play hard as well. And that's a good mentality to have in this industry, because you do sometimes need to let off a bit of steam and have a week off, but you know, off the back of that, you've worked really hard for 6 months, you've achieved a lot, you've got a lot coming up, so you can afford to have those couple of days to a week off. But yeah, the relationships are what bring us together, the friendship's there as well. And, you know, the trust is there, more importantly, that not just that they can trust that I'm looking after them in their work capacity, but they can come to me with stuff in their personal lives and we can work through it if they need my help.
And this is the thing, right? One of the things that I've noticed in business, right? As much as marketing as I do, as much sales stuff that I do, I look at the proportion of, like, our longest clients, the people that have been with us for the longest period. They've all been word of mouth, like, they've all been recommendations, right? And this is something that there's so many agencies out there, especially in the marketing world, that talk about, like, Facebook advertising, Instagram advertising, YouTube, SEO. There's all these strategies to be able to generate leads. But actually, social media for me is, like, the biggest word of mouth recommendation platform there is out there. All of them have the ability to do it. And you started off by probably getting one client. You may have got a couple more, and I don't know this, but I'm assuming that you get maybe a couple more from social media. But then, because all of these people and all your customers know each other, and they start talking, I'm assuming, to be like, oh, who are you currently using? And does that tend to happen? Is it one of those industries where word of mouth plays a big part?
Absolutely, yeah, of course. I mean, look, it's in any industry, whether it's sport, it's football, you know, the background that I've got in football as well, I've seen that. It's like you'll go into training one day and, you know, someone will be like, oh God, my agent's done this, and then they'll talk about it. Of course, these conversations happen. But, you know, as part of it, you can see by not necessarily the level of work that any of my talents are getting on their Instagram, but when you actually are around them and you're talking to them and they're in a good mental space and they're feeling good about work, I want that to come down to me, and I want them to believe that they can talk to me about anything. And of course, naturally, those recommendations will come because it's a big part of the industry. You know, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. You know, it's not just as simple as most people think of taking a picture, posting it. Oh, great, they get paid money for that. It isn't as simple as that. You know, you've got to put the effort and the time into your content. it might have to be reshot 5 times. You know, the deal might change. There's so many different variables that come into it. So knowing that you've got a good support system behind you, of course, it's naturally things that influencers, talents, they all talk about. So yeah, massively a word of mouth comes into it, and kind of recommendations. But you know, that's also a good thing for me. If I'm getting recommended to another client or another talent via one of my influencers, then they're already friends. So if it's bringing them in, then that makes them feel like they've already got somebody. And it's just a natural thing to do and to kind of build out the agency and build out that kind of family environment. You know, that's something that I really wanted to kickstart and get going, was that ethos of, you know, everybody's in this together. You know, you're all represented by the same agency. You're all represented by me, but you know, everyone is in this together. So individually, you've got your own careers and things going on, but then you'll come together, have a bit of a party, all support each other, and they feel like they can do that. Whereas I've seen numerous times over the past, and people have said it to me, is that they just feel like a number and they don't feel like they're getting the attention, because there's a top influencer at the agency who's flavor of the month and everybody's so focused on them. It's like, that will never happen with me. You know, regardless of how big, how small you are, you've got a career, you've got a dream, you've got a goal. I'm here to help you achieve it.
I love that. And again, that, even if you look at your website, so if anyone actually wants to go check this out, Alpha Talent Group's website will be linked inside the description for it. Go check it, because even the wording on there and the way that it's so simple in the layout and the design of it, but it just gets the message across, like, so similarly, that they care, they're all a collective, they all work together. And I just find it fascinating, because for me, no matter what business it is, no matter how many of these conversations I have, it comes down to the fundamental, like, three things. Sales sits at the top, like, everybody's looking to generate revenue and profit in business, right? But the things underneath it is just connection and relationships, and the best of the best are the ones that can generate the relationships to get the business off the ground and get going, and then be able to systemize in a way which gets teams behind them to start growing naturally and start to push. And for me, it's like so cool to see different people go through these journeys, right? And you're someone that I've not known that long. We obviously met through Kieran and James. And I think just seeing in terms of even Kieran's development, actually, if I think about it, because I knew Kieran just before I think he started being a client of yours, and he was actually speaking to me about, like, how can we potentially do stuff, and I'm like, well, it's not really like my bag at all, but you can sense the hunger in him with what he was looking to do and drive and where he was looking to go, and I could just see how you two work together in terms of how it's going. I just think it's really, really cool to see, because yeah, for me, it's not talking about enough. Business is simple in my eyes, right? It is simple. It is build relationships with the right people and solve a problem over and over again. You can do that and you can be successful. Just don't hold back and go from it. But I mean, to take it slightly off on a different subject, because I know we've been speaking in a couple of Clubhouse rooms. I've seen you on that maybe about a month or so ago. I saw you more on it, and I was definitely on it more then. But are you looking at taking your personal brand further? Is that something, because you're obviously working with personal brands, right? They've got thousands and thousands of followers, and you've been very much Alpha Talent Group from what I can see researching. What's your take on that personal brand versus business brand? Where are you looking at kind of pushing it? What direction? Is it both or one of them in particular?
Yeah, I think, look, ultimately the most important thing to me is the clients. So as long as their personal brands are on point, that's going to reflect on my personal brand anyway. So I don't really think, and I don't ever think about my own personal brand. You know, as long as I'm doing my job and those guys are doing their job, it roots back to me. So in the same way that if you look at a talent who isn't doing that well, or you hear stories of someone who isn't, you straight away go, oh, who's looking after them? So it works in both ways. Personal brand wise, for me, I am Alpha. It's what it is. It's in me. It's what it's, you know, it's many people say it's my baby. So I don't think I need to grow my personal brand in that sense and focus on that, because that will come as part and parcel of working with my clients and growing their personal brands, which will then in turn obviously grow Alpha's profile and stature as being known as an agency that, you know, I haven't been around for a long time. I'm not, you know, I know some of these other agencies that are my competitors have been, you know, they've got 20, 25 years on me. So this is all still very new, but it's exciting and I can see the pathway, I can see where it's going to go. And I think naturally my personal brand will come out of them all doing really well and being successful and, you know, naturally as part of Alpha as well.
And with your like plans moving forward, are you looking to like build actual a team of agents to sit below you? Are you looking, what's like the plan to scale? Where are you looking at taking it?
Yeah, definitely. Scale is an interesting one in this business. A lot of people have asked me that recently. And the reason why it's so tricky is because when you scale a business, obviously an element of what you're going to be giving up is sometimes what people give up is a relationship. So if I look at it and go, right, you know, there's 15 clients on my books now that I look after, which sounds like a lot for one person, and it is. It keeps me very busy, but that's the way I want to be.
WhatsApp is absolutely manic.
Oh, never stops, never stops. I think screen time's running at about 12, 13 hours a day now, which is sickening when you think about it. But anyway, so as you scale a business like this, there is often the fear that, okay, if you bring in other agents, you know, are you going to palm me off to somebody else? You know, what's going to go on? You know, they've bought into me. So my stance on this is very simple. Those 15 clients will always be my clients. You know, I've said this to everybody, said to Kieran, et cetera. It doesn't matter how long I've been with them, how long they've signed with my agency because they want to work with me. So for me to then turn around and say, great, here's this new intern. She's just joined. He's just joined. They're going to be your main point of contact. That doesn't sit well with me, because then therefore the reason why they've signed with Alpha is gone. So my goal to scale the business now really is to bring in people who maybe have experience in the industry, who might have their own clients, and they want to bring them across and maybe part of Alpha and be part of the movement, and, you know, be part of a company that's up and coming. It's new, you know, we're still kind of at ground level pretty much. So that's going to be the way the business will scale. Ultimately, the reason why the group is at the end of it is that it's not just going to be TV, celebrities, influencers, you know, that type of thing. I do want to branch out possibly into music and sport at some stage, but my niche will be the TV side, will be the influencer side. And then there'll be people that I hope to bring in that will handle sport, music, and just use Alpha's name and expand that into those industries. But my stance remains clear on that, is that anybody that is signed to Alpha because they want to work with me will still work with me. And then to bring in other agents that have already got talents, then they can go out, get their own talents, source them, and it will all be under Alpha's umbrella.
So it's a really, really interesting point, right? And like for me, I have these conversations a lot. I've gone through this myself, where it's a different industry altogether, right? We run a content agency, and I've built my personal brand. That's how my business has grown. It's not been through Grammication. It's been through Chris Taylor. And I've had clients on my books that are like, Chris, we don't want anyone else writing our content. We want you to write our content. And I'm like, I'd love to like keep doing and writing. I mean, it's a different one. Like, I'm writing physical content for these people, right? I loved it for about 6 weeks, and then it became a complete and utter pain in the ass. Because I was just writing for a living, and I'm not an author. That's not what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a business owner. And when it came down to it, like the scaling, I had to make that tough decision where it's like, you know what? Now it's time to kind of change that position from, you're not buying Chris Taylor anymore. Yes, we have a relationship, but you're buying the process and the result that we can deliver you. Yeah. And I learned this from my business partner, Nick Jones. You may meet him at some point, actually. Well, when we meet up and have a beer, I may invite him. But he has done amazing things in business, but he's also quite tough in these sorts of environments. And he maybe make a tough decision of, you don't talk about how good you are anymore, which is what I was technically doing. I mean, I like to think I'm not bad at what I do, but it actually became more about that process. And it was like, look, these people want a result. Right, they just want the result coming through. Yes, the relationship matters, but they want the result that your business can deliver them. And it's a tough question to ask you right now, but I mean, and again, in terms of it, I mean, you obviously care about your clients. You can see that from every single second. I mean, what do you think? I'll try and phrase this in the right way. What do you think is the in their minds, talent's minds? Right, is it more the result that your business can deliver them? Or is it the relationship that they value the most? Tough question, actually.
Good question is what I would say. I think it's a bit of both, if I'm honest. I think, of course, that they need, you know, the career, they want to be making money. You know, it's the same with anybody. When you break things down, ultimately you're out there to do one thing, which is to earn a living, but you want to enjoy it whilst you're doing it. So I think that's where the second part comes into it, is I do think a lot of people, if you were to say to them, would you rather be in situation A, where you're making money, you're doing well, but you haven't got that relationship, and you know, you find it tough to communicate, etc., or B, would you rather have a situation where you are still doing well, not as well as situation A, but you've got a solid relationship, you've got plans, and you know you could possibly out earn situation A? I think you're taking B all day long, and not just for the money side of it, it's the relationship. You know, you want to have a good relationship with who's looking after your business affairs, but your personal affairs. You want to be able to go with them with anything. And I think it's key, because there's so much that goes on in the industry, and potentially that it, you know, it can be very viable in terms of money. You know, there's a lot of money that gets thrown around in some of these contracts, and there are some lucrative deals out there. So if you've got somebody handling that who you don't 100% trust, that makes it a very uneasy and nervous process for you to go through. and can play a lot on your mind, can play a lot on your mental health, and can affect you on the job pretty much. Whereas if you're going into one of those situations, knowing that the person looking after you's got your best interests at heart, you haven't got to worry anything about them, you've not got any concerns about them, you can just go in there, perform to the best of your ability, then that makes everything a lot more enjoyable. It makes your work enjoyable as well. I think a lot of people look at influencers and are very quick to be like, oh, they've got the easiest job in the world. But let me tell you, behind the scenes, it's not as straightforward as people think it is. And it's another thing that I want to put out there. I know a few people have done it already on Instagram. A few influencers have given a kind of day in their lives and have tried to show it, but you can't actually show it on that. It's everything changes. There is a lot going on. There's a lot of pressure, and it isn't just as simple anymore as taking a photo, uploading it, and job done. You know, some of these campaigns go on for days. They go on for months. You know, there's different things that they have to do. So, you know, to take away a stress of somebody who is an influencer and to make them feel comfortable and to know that, you know, with you looking after them, they haven't got to worry is such a big thing. And I think that really helps them mentally, physically, it helps them. And it also helps them work-wise just perform better, which is obviously going to lead to more work.
Well, at the end of the day, they're brands and they're their own entities, right? They're their own businesses. At the end, like, absolutely. I look at them and like this word influencer is like, we use it because that's like the common term. But these people have a combination of different things, right? They're affiliate marketers. They have their own products and then they have their own different stuff they do when it comes to events. So they're events companies, they're affiliate marketers, and then they may have their own products and services at the same time. And for me, it's like, people look at it and they do go, oh, it's all right for them. And they do that, I think, with a lot of business owners, but it's so much more in that industry. Yeah. It's like, oh, it's just another photo with his top off, or it's another gym shot and all this different stuff that goes on. But like I saw a boxer, Nathan Heaney, he's from Stoke. And he literally did, I think it was one of the best things. He is a boxer, right? He's got a great following, but he's a boxer. And he sold out the whole arena, literally printing off and posting the tickets himself. He sold out the arena for one of the biggest fights that was going on in the UK on that card. Like, he filled it. And it's like, you start to see the graft of what these people go through to build a brand for themselves. And I think it's just inspiration, because for me, like, so many people think building a brand's easy. Yes, they may have had some airtime on TV, like I'm sure you deal with people in the same aim, right? But to be able to keep that following, to be able to keep it then engaged is a second thing altogether. And then to be able to put out affiliate relationships, affiliate brands, and actually get people to go, you know what, that's really interesting because I can see how much they love that product. It's a skill, it's an art, and it's a business. And the people that do it right, you don't even realize that they're doing it. It's like, and they're promoting products that they love. They're promoting products and services that they truly believe in. And I think that's, from the people that I see that you're working with, that for me is what I believe you must help them with, along with their own feelings internally on it as well.
Absolutely, yeah. I think, like you just said, it comes down to the authenticity and, you know, the organic side of it. And, you know, content has to be thought through. There has to be a plan to it. There has to be a reason to why they're doing something. And like I said, most people don't realize it when they see it as a post, but that gym shot, that shot in that outfit, that might be one of the mini steps to get to the brand they want to get to. So to us, it's a big thing, but to the outside world, it's like, okay, he's taking a picture in a tracksuit in the gym. You know, fine. How hard can that be? But then the pressure behind that shot to make sure that it's a good shot, how many times did it take to get that shot? You know, did we change locations? Did we change outfits? Did we change posting times? Did the brand change the guidelines? There are so many different variables that come into it. But then ultimately, you know, in 5 years' time, 10 years' time, however long the plan is, we want to be able to look back at that those moments and think, right, we know if we hadn't done that, we might not be where we are now. And the world has a very funny way of working, and it does reward people who are hardworking. We know that. So the mentality has always got to be, I'm very hardworking. I think a lot of people also get caught up in the fact that, oh, you know, they haven't got a 9-to-5 job, so they can get up whenever they want, they can do whatever they want. I think that's a very poor a misrepresentation of talents, of influencers. You know, they get up early, what the guys I work with do anyway, get up early, you know, might go to the gym first thing in the morning, get themselves in a good mental, physical state, ready for the day. Then you've got admin to deal with, and they might go and have certain things to shoot. But it's not just having one shoot at a time. You might have five brands that are all waiting for content from you because you've agreed those deals. And, you know, if I'm doing my job correctly, they should have more than one on the go at a time. So, you know, I'm doing my job in bringing those deals in, but then their job is to get the content created, you know, up to a standard that we're all happy with, and then we've got to deliver it. So, you know, every day, even though it isn't a 9-to-5, it's longer than that. You know, you can get up early doors, 5, 6 a.m., get your gym session in, then start cracking on with work, and you might not be done till 9, 10 o'clock in the evening. So it is very much a full day, but I think I'd speak for all of them in saying they wouldn't give it up for the world. They love what they do. You know, they work with some great brands that, you know, before they even went on these TV shows, they would probably buy in the shops and they, you know, look up to them, want to buy their new products. So to now say they're working with them is a fantastic achievement. And like I said, we've got a lot of plans for the guys to get to the heights they want to get to and to start working with those brands that they consider to be, you know, top of their list and, you know, kind of wish list of brands they've always wanted to work with.
Yeah, I think kind of in terms of that side of things, for me, it's like those products and services that they choose, you can feel it. Like, again, I'm going to talk about him because we both know him and he was on the show a couple of weeks ago. Kieran, when he got that Alpha League deal, as in, just as one small example, he was wearing that brand for God knows how long and then secures the partnership, right? Like, for me, perfect opportunity with that, along with all the other stuff that he's worked with in the past as well. But I mean, in terms of social media, this is something that I'm trying to get some information, actually, and it's a selfish question for me. With these brands, right, I actually was in a situation in August 2020, last year, where I lost my Instagram account. It got hacked, right? And I lost access to my follow. I managed to get it back again, but I lost it. What does an influencer do in that scenario where they have access to this following? And yes, they can go back and they can build it again and they can try and do it. But one of the things that I did was build a database of people. I did it via email and kind of collected it that way. I'm an information type business, so that's a simple logic for me.
Yeah.
But this is happening a lot. I see it a lot these days where people are losing their accounts or they're losing their followings and all this sort of thing. I mean, have you had any experience of that in terms of kind of like what they're doing to protect themselves these days with the audiences that they're building?
I mean, no, thankfully none of my clients have experienced getting hacked or losing their accounts. And please God that continues. But I think there is obviously two-step authentication these days. There's loads of security steps you can take to make sure that doesn't happen. Obviously, you know, we know people at Facebook, Instagram, etc. So if things go wrong, we can try and resolve it. You know, it's part of our job as well, is to look after their social media accounts in that respect and make sure they're protected. But like I said, the standard two-factor authentication, you know, having every time they log in, even if it's from a new phone or a new location, it just sends a text to their phone, which is really good. But you know, these things can't be prevented. Sometimes they do happen, but then it's like anything in life, it's an event happens to you. It's not the fact that it's happened to you, it's how do you react to it and how do you come back from that. And you know, if they're following strong enough and they've built up a really loyal fan base, let's call it, then if they were to set up a new account, they're getting those followers back. You know, it's not that much of an issue. It's an inconvenience. It's going to take time to build to the level they had, of course, but you know, these things can be resolved. But yes, like I said, thankfully hasn't happened to us yet, and long may that continue.
Yeah, touching every bit of wood, crossing everything that it doesn't. 100%, mate, 100%. I mean, the mindset thing, you've spoken about that a couple of times, actually, like in terms of having resilience, working hard, kind of really putting everything you have into your clients. I mean, what do you think is, like, so again, difficult one, but the number one skill that you've got that's enabled you to get to where you are today?
Being personable. I mean, not even the selling side of it, it's being personable. You know, whether it's a brand, whether it's a talent, they've got that at the end of the day. When you break it down, I'm selling people into brands. I'm selling people to people, effectively, is what it is. So if in order to do that, people aren't necessarily going to buy your product, they're going to buy from you. They're buying you because they like you. So with the brands that I work with and I've got good relationships with, they're going to come to me for talent because I've got a good relationship with them and they know that my talent is going to be of a high standard because they've worked with me before and because they've seen the levels that I can produce at. So I think once you've got that, that's your most valuable asset, is being able to go into a room, obviously post-COVID world, and you know, network and meet new people and have the ability to go up to people you haven't met before because you don't know how those relationships are going to start and where they're going to go to. It's the same thing Kieran and James, you know, met them at an event. James was the one that started talking to me and then obviously leapt onto Kieran. So had I never spoken to James that night or had I not been there that night, Kieran and I may not be working together now. So like I said, the world does work in those types of ways. You've got to put yourself in that position as a manager where you are going to go and network for your client. You're going to go and try and meet new people, endless possibilities. And that is putting yourself in situations that you may not feel comfortable in, but you ride it and you go for it. And I'm not sitting here saying that I'm the most confident person in the world. I'm absolutely not. But I know in myself that if I put myself in a room, I will talk to people, I'll make relationships, I'll make connections that will benefit my clients. So number one thing for me that I've got and I've built is the ability to be personable, be approachable, but also be able to jump out of my comfort zone and go and speak to people because you just don't know where that's going to lead.
Exactly that. And if you hadn't done that, we wouldn't be talking today, mate. So there exactly. You go. Everything happens, doesn't it? Everything happens for a reason. But I think, yeah, you're totally right. Like, that relationships thing is the thing that I believe also. It's like, I was rubbish at it when I first started networking. When I used to go to like random property networking events, that was my first business. I used to sit in the back of the room and feel so awkward. And then as I kind of grew, as I started to go, I started to kind of like tell people what I did. And then it was more about, actually, it's not about telling people what I did. It's about finding out about them and getting them to ask me what I do. So it puts me in a much more comfortable position to talk about myself.
It's information gaining as well. Like in a room like that, you're, like you said, you're asking people what they do, you're gaining information. But then when they ask you, if you do something that you love, it's easy to talk about, you know, and the passion comes across, and it's very, you know, it's very simple to then talk about kind of your work and what you do and how you get into it. And then those conversations just naturally flow because, you know, hopefully they enjoy what they do and you're both having a conversation about work, but you're not, you know, it's not in a boring sense. You know, often people think about work conversations being boring, but if you've got two people that absolutely love their job, then the conversation can go on for hours.
Yeah, totally, mate. Totally. I mean, what's the big plan with Alpha Talent Group? Have you got like certain objectives that you want to hit in terms of size wise? Are you quite content with it? What's the, I know we kind of touched on it previously, but we kind of then kind of came away from the subject. I mean, what is your plan with it? Are you looking to be one of the biggest? Are you looking just to make sure you've got the best relationships possible? Where are you kind of taking it?
I think, look, anybody's going to answer that and say, of course, they want to be the biggest, they want to be the best. It's, you know, it's a natural response. I think, yes, of course, we want that ability. And I know everybody involved in Alpha wants to grow, which is what we will do. But grow at the right pace and grow at the right time and keep the relationships, keep the ethos of the company there. You know, the company is called Alpha for a reason. You know, the talents that we work with, we want them to be those personalities, those dominant personalities. They're confident. They're at the top of their game, top of their craft. They work hard. You know, that's the ethos. That's the energy that I want of the business. So for as long as that continues and scaling that, yeah, there's going to be challenges in that. But I'm looking forward to those challenges. And I think the scaling will start now. And of course, the objective is always to be the biggest, to be the best, but it's to be ultimately for me on a very basic level, just a well-known and respected agency in the industry.
Absolutely love it, mate. I mean, where can people get in contact if they do want to get in touch with you about anything that we've spoken about today?
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously on the website, there's a contact page on there. You've got my Instagram, which is at JakeLee28, and then at Alpha Talent is the main talent group page, which you can reach out to, which my email's on as well. So yeah, if anybody does want to get in touch, always on my emails, WhatsApps, anything like that. So feel free to reach out.
Amazing stuff. I'll link everything in the description so everybody can find it. I'm gonna be sharing this a lot all over my socials. So it's I've absolutely loved the conversation that we've had, mate. Really, really appreciate your time. Thank you very much for coming on.
No worries. Thank you very much for having me.
Cheers, Jake.